I want to thank Father DiMartino for this rare opportunity to preach on Holy Thursday and this Mass of the Lord's Supper. It is on this day that we as Catholics throughout the world, in union with the whole Church, commemorate the institution of two of our seven sacraments, the Most Holy Eucharist and the priesthood. Tonight I want to focus on the priesthood, for it is a topic that we priests rarely preach about. After all, today is our feast day. Our gospel passage is taken from the 13th chapter of John's Gospel. It is the beginning of a four-chapter narrative on the events that occurred in the upper room where Christ instituted both the Eucharist and the priesthood at the Last Supper. Interestingly, John never mentions the actual institution of the Eucharist. Rather, chapter 13 is highlighted by the washing of the feet, something Father DiMartino will reenact after this homily. Pay close attention to the actions that our Lord takes in order to wash the feet of the apostles, a task often relegated to household servants. Archbishop Fulton Sheen tells us that seven actions are depicted: rising, laying his garment aside, taking a towel, putting it about him, pouring water, washing feet and wiping with a towel. Archbishop Sheen saw this scene as a summary of Christ taking on our humanity. Our Lord rises from the heavenly banquet of union with the Father. He lays aside his garment of heavenly glory, wraps the humanity which Mary gave him around his divinity, pours out his blood to redeem us, and then washes our souls through the merits of his death and resurrection. In instituting the priesthood, our Lord knew that it would not be enough to simply leave us his teaching. It was necessary, and is still necessary, that the faith be given real flesh and blood reality in the person of priests, so that our faith doesn't operate in the abstract. The humanity of the priest guarantees that the Father's love never becomes so. Rather than understanding the Father's love in the theoretical, the priesthood gives the Father's love real flesh. What a humbling privilege it is to be a priest, to stand in the person of Christ, and to continue his saving work in the world, a dignity not even given to the angels. The angels can consecrate the Eucharist or forgive sins, but a priest can. It should amaze us that God would love man so much that he would choose to share his very work in the world through the hands of priests. For over 2,000 years, God has taken mere men, impressed the character of Christ, a high priest, upon them, a very change in their being, allowing them to possess a unique gift that makes him alter Christus, another Christ. Priests render tangible the actual work of Christ. They are living signs that Jesus is still in and with the Catholic Church. And as Pope John Paul II of happy memory put it in his encyclical on the priesthood, the priest is, quote, a sacramental representation of Christ, both head and shepherd, end of quote. Priests are consecrated men, and just as there is clearly a real difference between an ordinary person, man or woman, and a Christian by virtue of the sacrament of baptism, which affects a very real and indelible character or mark in the soul, so there is a very real difference between a priest and every other Christian who is not ordained, because on the soul of a priest has been placed that makes him a priest forever, sacerdos in aeternum, making him different, not necessarily better than others, but essentially different from others, giving him a potential and capacity to rise to the greatest heights of holiness. Just as anyone baptized is saved or lost as a Christian, so a man ordained is saved or lost as a priest. By ordination, priests have taken an irreversible step that leaves them marked forever and allows them to assume a new personhood, if you will, as they now act in persona Christi, in the very person of Christ, speaking his words in the first person. You'll notice that the priest never says during the consecration, this is Christ's body and this is Christ's blood. Rather, the priest celebrant will say in a few moments, this is my body, this is my blood. In the confessional, he does not say, may God absolve you and forgive you of your sins. Rather, he speaks in the first person singular, I absolve you. Speaking in the name of Christ, he is an instrument of the Lord. He becomes his voice, his hands, his feet. The priest is completely the Lord's. have all priests taken that irreversible step? Well, first, it is the sign of the love that the individual man who becomes a priest has for you, the faithful of God. He lays down his life for his friends. There is no greater love than that. He denies himself and dies to himself to live for you. He's saying, you're worth it. It's sad to receive the response at times of multitudes, even of faithful people in the church who, when proposed about a young man coming forward through the priesthood, say, what a waste. No, it's not a waste. It's a gift. It's a gift to you, a gift to me, that a man has thought enough of us to lay down his life for us in this way. It is also a sign of God's love that he does not abandon his church. And just in those early days when he called persons like St. Matthew, the tax collector, from his post, he has called men who may not be deserving. They are not. No one can be deserving of such a gift. And the Lord takes men in their loneliness, from their sinfulness, and raises them to new heights, a sign that God does not give up on us. He loves us enough to give us priests, and we have to love our priests and pray for them, especially the weakest among us. This is a gift you, my good people, should want for your son, your grandson, your brothers, your friends, your co-workers. Pray for priestly vocations. Encourage them. There are some who believe that the recent crisis in the church might in some way diminish vocations, but I think that as in time of war, many young men and women come forward and give themselves in service to the country. And I would hope that one of the good effects that comes out of this tragedy is that many men will come forward in defense of Holy Mother Church and lay down their lives as soldiers for Christ, just like soldiers for our Army, Navy, Marine Corps, Air Force, who lay down their lives for the country at difficult times. We live in a time when there are many in the church who question the value and meaning of priestly life, especially in terms of priestly celibacy. But we must never question this awesome gift of Christ to his church, this gift that priests make to all of us. What does it mean, this gift? For someone trying to justify it by appealing to human and natural terms, they point out how it's practical, how it may be convenient to continue the discipline of priestly celibacy. The bishop certainly agrees that it's cheaper. But let us not miss the point here. The true meaning and value of priestly celibacy cannot be found in this world, but only in terms of the next. It has eschatological value. And what that means is, every priest who has taken these promises begins to live in his very body in this world, the life of the world to come, where there will be no marriage and no giving in marriage. And as sublime a calling marriage may be in this life, God did not put it in eternity. And so the one who is consecrated to celibacy and virginity anticipates in this world the life that all of us will lead in the world to come. And we need that witness now more than ever. The one who gives himself to holy celibacy is saying, I believe so much in this gospel I proclaim that I'm willing to give up not what is bad, all of us must do that, but what is good, marriage, family, and children. A priest has decided to possess no one in particular so that he can be the father of all. He has decided to have no children so that all of us can be his children. And it is so fitting that the priest lives as imitation of Christ, who gave himself marriage and family, so that in a few moments, when the celebrant speaks the awesome words of consecration, this is my body, he will be even more identified with the pure Christ, who sacrificed everything for us. A priest must face a challenge to mirror the spotless purity of Christ in his own body. The people of God, you deserve this, and you expect this of every priest. This is why we are so shattered when one of us may fail. But priestly celibacy is more than a purity of life. It is, moreover, the intention to be available. Bishop Sheen once wrote a book, The Priest Is Not His Own. The title says it all. Priests are to take to heart the words of God in the book of Leviticus, when the Lord says, in regards to priests, I, the Lord, am holy and have separated you from the people that you should be mine. And by the priest's consecrated life, he can more easily be totally the Lord's. Priests are called to be prophetic, calling others back to fidelity at a time when many are falling away and are failing to be faithful in matters of faith and morals. In the book of Jeremiah, God says to the prophet, "To all to whom I send you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Behold, I have put my words in your mouth." I like to remind men who come to me discerning a vocation to the priesthood that the priest who tells people what they need to hear will find that he loses many members of his congregation. But the priest that tells his people what they want to hear will find that he loses his soul. Priests are always challenged to give the people what they need, even at times they must deny them what they want. Obviously, the Catholic priest is a special and unique person. His position forces him to face many difficulties. He is an ambassador of a world distinct from the one in which he lives, sent to remind all those around him of many saving truths which are at times repellent to our fallen humanity. We are men like others. Sometimes, like others, we fail. But we are quite different from others. As the priest is invested in extraordinary power, he carries to others the message of salvation. And yet, for that very reason, his life can often be hard and lonely. It's very difficult to express adequately the great dignity of the priesthood, or the greatness of the vocation. This homily this evening are just a few recollections and thoughts and reflections on my almost 10 years of priestly service. Much is given to a priest by God, but because of that, much is expected from him, not only by God, but by you, God's people. If there is anyone not allowed to live his own life, that person is a priest. If there is anyone to whom all human reward, ambition, or any kind of selfishness is forbidden, that person is a priest. He is a man who lives not for himself, but for others. No task is more heroic. No situation is more difficult. No responsibility is greater. But neither is there anything more awesome or more sublime, more self-sacrificing or more exciting than the life of a Catholic priest. To conclude, I want to share with you words of a 19th century Dominican priest who better than anyone, I think, capsulized the true ideal of the Catholic priesthood. And in these days when we need to see that ideal in its purity and beauty, I give you these words. To live in the midst of the world with no desire for its pleasures, to be a member of every family and belonging to none, to share all sufferings, to penetrate all secrets, to heal all wounds, to daily go from men to God to offer him their homage and petitions, to return from God to men to bring them his pardon and hope, to have a heart of fire for charity and a heart of bronze for chastity, to bless and to be blessed forever. O God, what a life, and it is thine, O priest of Jesus Christ. O Mary, queen of priests, and conceive without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee.